Greetings and welcome back to another ongoing series of Shirman Daf Yomi. My name is Yitzchak Yat Shalom. We're now in Masechet Nida Daf Chav Zayin Amud Aleph, about to take a look at the analysis of the second half of Mishnah Dala that we already saw. Shliyam Abayit Abayit Tameh. If there's a placenta in the house is automatically Tameh. Tana Rabbanan. We get the background now to the Machloket that's mentioned in our Mishnah with Rabbi Shimon. Shliyam Abayit Abayit Tameh. Lo Shal Shliyam Vlad El Shein Shliyam Shein Vlad Imah. That is exactly like our Mishnah. And we find out that our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Meir. Rabbi Yosef, Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Shimon. In our Mishnah, we only hear about Rabbi Shimon. Metaharin. Amrula Lord Meir. Now here's the background. Iyata Modesh Imotziu Besefel Abayit Chitzon Shutahor. Wouldn't you agree that if we took this Shliyam in a cup and took it out into another room, that it would be tahor? Idea being that by moving it out, we would assume that anything that was in the placenta got mashed up to the point where it's no longer a mate. Amalahan, aval, indeed. V'lama fi she'eino. Romero said the reason is because by that time it's no longer anything. Amrulo, k'shem she'eino, v'ayta chison, kach eino, v'ayta pnimit. So they said just like it's nothing there, it's also nothing when it first comes out. Amalahan, eino dom, nimok pamachav, nimok shtei pi'amim. Romero says that the first time, when it first comes out, there must be some mashing involved, but here you're doing it a second time, so by the time it's the second time, there's nothing there, but the first time, not necessarily so. Here's a story. Yata Rav Papa Chored Rav Bevai Kamed Rav Hamnuna. So Rav Hamnuna was teaching, Rav Bevai was sitting in front of him, and behind that was Rav Papa. And Vyata Vakama Rav Hamnuna taught, my time Rav Shimon, what's Rav Shimon's reason? Notice he only said Rav Shimon. Kesavra kol tumah shna reiv ba miminacher. Anytime that tumah gets mixed in with anything else, b'teila. It's batel. Now this only refers to certain materials of tumat mate. Amar Rav Papa. Hanatamidayu do Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi. So Papa piped up and said, that's also the reason for Rabbi Yehuda Rabbi Yossi's position. Achichu ale. So they laughed at him. The older boys there laughed at him and said, Maishna, pshita, why would that be any difference? Obvious. Rapapa's Rapapa, and it probably is later on in life when he's telling the story, he related, even such a thing, it's that obvious, a person should say and not be silenced in front of his own teacher, meaning if you become degraded by speaking up, as opposed to doing the wrong thing, which is to put your hand on your mouth and not say anything. Okay. And now, our analysis, Rabbi Shimon Latame, Rabbi Shimon's being consistent, Tanya. Melo Torvad Rekev, Shnafala Tochwa Farkol Shu. If you have exactly a shear, it's a pitchfork full of corpse mold, which is Matame as a mate, that a small amount of dirt, any amount of dirt fell into it, Tame. It's still Tame, because that's the minimum shear. Rabbi Shimon Matahir, Rabbi Shimon's Matahir. My Tame Rabbi Shimon, so what's Rabbi Shimon's reason? So Rabba tells us the following story, Apostle Rabba. Ashkechinu the Rabbanim de Veirav. I found the students of Beirav. Diyatvi the Kamri. Remember, Beirav lasted for several generations after Rav was Nifter. And they said the following. Eif shar shlo yabu shtei pridot afar, prida achat shal raket. They said, if you look at it granularly, there, it's impossible, if a little bit of dirt fell in, that at least at one point, there's more dirt than corpse mold. In other words, they're gonna be a rove in one particular spot, which means in that spot, the rakav is gone. Cause the rove is mevatelet. And now the shear is deficient. And then I told them the opposite. Adrabi, if shoshle bushte fridot rakav, al pridachat shalafar. It's impossible, and you may be right, but then it's going to be impossible if there's that much corpse mold and only a little bit of dirt, that there aren't many places where there's more mold than dirt, and therefore the mold now increases because the dirt becomes part of it. Alright, Venafishle Shirei. Ella Amarava, so Rava says, I'll tell you the real reason. I am talking to Rabbi Shimon, Sofot Chilato. Because we judge the status of this corpse mold at its end, meaning when we're mevatelit, as it is at the beginning, which means matzlaton asalo devar cher gangilon, any other thing becomes apposition to it, and this word gangilon, which is used very rarely in Shas, it's the first time we've encountered it, which seems to be something like an opposing and something that is mevatelit afsofon asalo devar cher gangilon. So same thing at the end. Now, let's see what the basis of this is. Mahi de Tanya, we have a brayta. Ezo mechiyesh to rakav, ezo mechiyesh in the rakav. We have the din of rakav that we last only spent serious time with in the end of Masechet Nazir. What is a mate that has rakav, and what kind of mate do we not count that as rakav? It's a very interesting halacha. Nikpa arum baron shel shayis. If the mate was buried naked, no clothes whatsoever, in a marble casket, or gaber special avanim, or on a floor which is made of stone, which means that the mold can have no material from anywhere else except the body, zel mate shesh to rakav. That's called rakav. Arizu mate shein rakav. Nikpa b'chsuto. If someone is buried in garments, or even naked, but in a wooden casket, or gaber special levanim, or on a brick floor, that makav doesn't count because it's got something of some other material mixed in. The garments, the crumbled clay from the bricks, the wood, and therefore it had, the rakav, as you see, has to be pure rakav. And so therefore, Reb Shimon, according to this explanation, says the same thing at the end. If you have anything else gets into it, then it's all batel. Parenthetically, another limitation is rakav only applies to somebody who died naturally, or should we say of some other trauma, but the mutei aruga, as opposed to somebody who was decapitated, right? To lo, why not? Because he already bled out. Okay, gufa. Let's go take a look at this statement. That's one. Now we have another tosefta nearby in Ohalot. Malotav ad rakav shenit pazer bayit. Let's say you have that amount of rakav and it got spread through the house. Habayit tameh. It's still under one roof. The house is tameh. Rabbi Shimon says, no, it's not. It's tahor. Utsricha. And by the way, we need both machlokot and Rabbi Shimon to be matayer in both cases. Tiyashmin kamait. If we only had the first one about the mixture of dirt. So by hikam rabbanon, maybe the rabbanon only in that case would say it's tameh mishum the michnif because it's all together. Avon pazer when it got spread out and modul Rabbi Shimon, maybe they agree with Rabbi Shimon that it's tahor. Dein mahil v'chozer mahil because you can't have a continuous ohel. You have to have the ohel over all of the tum at one time. V'yashminin baha. If you had only the second one, this is a flip tzrichuta. Baha Rabbi Shimon dein mahil v'chozer mahil baha imam the rabbanon. I think that Rabbi Shimon agrees with the Rabbanon. In the first case, when the Tuma is all together, but just some dirt got mixed in, therefore I need both. Okay, Tanya, we have another bright. Let's say there's the amount plus a little bit. Afar beit hakfarot, and it's not rakav, but it's dirt from a beit hakfarot. Tamei. Rabbi Shimon Tahir. Now, my Tamei Rabbanon. Why do Rabbanon say it's Tamei? Because almost all the dirt from a cemetery is rakav, is corpse mold. And therefore, if you have more than the shear, then it is going to be the shear of rakav. But now let's roll back. We already just established Rabbi Shimon's reason for being Matahir, the rakav that has some dirt in it, is because it has to be pure rakav, just like at the beginning. So now, Gabesh Shilya Maitama, what's his reason in our Mishnah about the Shilya? Because then you don't have the same reasoning. And we've rolled away from the idea of Rove. The idea of Tumah that has anything mixed in with it is Batel. Because it's a rove, meaning a rove of this placenta is not mate. But as Rabbi Yochanan the Tame, and now Rabbi Yochanan is being consistent in that explanation. Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Eliezer had the same conceptual approach. This is a piece that we're much more familiar with from Pumbadita, from Abaye. Rabbi Yochanan also did it. Rabbi Shimon had damar. Rabbi Shimon, our case. Rabbi Eliezer and Tanya. Rabbi Yaakov Omer, b'magash shafach harat dam. If a b'magash, like a cow, suddenly was pregnant and then dropped a whole clot of blood, harezu tikaver. You have to take that thing and bury it. We'll see why. Uftaram in a bechorah, but the next one it bears is not a bechor. Meaning this is called the petarechem. V'tanya Rabbi Chia. What did Rabbi Chia say about that? Ain't a matame lo b'magav lo b'masa. That this piece is not matame. B'magav b'masa, which means not an avela. That means it's not really a vlad, a mitikaver. Why should it be buried? In other words, it would only be buried if we said this really was a bechor that didn't make it, and therefore bikudushato has to be buried. It's buried here just to let everybody know that it's a bechor, which means the next one's not a bechor. Okay. I'm a vlad mario, so you see that this really is a vlad. V'mai, why is it a vlad? If that's the case, why is it amatame? Rabbi Yochanan said, because of bitul barov, because whatever vlad is in there, majority of it is not vlad. And therefore, it's not matame, even though it's pater from bechora. So therefore, Rabbi Yochanan says, Rabbi Ozman Yaakov in that case, or Rabbi Shimon in this case, said that there is an issue of bitul barov, and that's why it's not matame. Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Shimon, Shimon, Tmei Aleda. He said, Rabbi Yehovah Shimon in our Mishnah would agree that if the mother had this shilya, she's still Tmei Aleda, and that includes also Yimei Tohar, perhaps. So Rabbi Ami quoted Rabbi Yochanan saying this, and then an elder told Rabbi Ami, I'll tell you Rabbi Yochanan's reason. The famous pasuk with which this all starts. Meaning, even if she only birthed something that's similar to what she was Mazriya, which is blood, Tmei Aleda, then she's still Tmei Aleda. Okay? Let's say you had a shvir, the sack, and they mixed it up. It has water in it, in the sack, and they shook it up. Now, that's like a mate whose features and everything got destroyed, which means it's tahor. Who says that's tahor? If you're comparing the two, but your model, your index is a questionable ruling. Maybe it's from this ruling that Rabbi Shabtai quoted Rabbi Yitzchak Magdala, or vice versa. If you have a body that was totally burned up and the skeleton is intact, Tamei, it's still Tamei, that skeleton is Tamei. Maaseya v'timulo p'tachim gdolim v'tiarulo p'tachim k'tanim. So there was a story that happened with such a case, and they said that the p'tachim gdolim are Tamei, the p'tachim k'tanim are tahor. Let me explain. If you have a mate in a room, and there's an adjacent room, and there's no window or door that connects the two, you'd have to go outside of the house and go around to get in, the other room is totally tahor. There has to be some sort of an aperture, some sort of a way through. Typically, with a mate, even a small aperture of tefach, poteach tefach, is enough to bring tuma in. However, in this case, they said, a small petach is not enough to bring tuma in, but a big one is. And the reasoning is because the only part of this thing that exists that's tamei is the skeleton. The skeleton can't get through a tiny aperture. Okay? So therefore, v'kadaikat mina, you, Rabbi Yochanan says to Rish Lakish, you were medayik from there. Tam et ashildokem, and it's only because there's a skeleton there. Halav hachi, if there was nothing there, meaning just mush, then tahor, totally tahor, and that's meitshin b'balatzurato, and you're comparing that to the shvir shetafu meimav. Adraba, Rabbi Yochanan says the exact opposite. Look, mina lahagisa, you should be medayik the opposite. You should infer the exact opposite conclusion. It's only because there's a skeleton that they said that the small apertures are tahor. If it's just mush, then all the doors are tamei, meaning everything going through the doors, that's considered a conduit for tuma. Each one could be used to bring one of these small ivarim out. Okay, so that's Rabbi Yochanan's rebuttal of Rav Shlakish. I'm going to Rav Rashi. Rabbi Yochanan Damar Kaman. Who's Rabbi Yochanan following here? Rabbi Eliezer. He's following Rabbi Eliezer. Didnan. Efer Srufin. Rabbi Eliezer Meir Shuram Berova. If you have somebody who was burned up and all there is left is ashes, Rabbi says there's a shear for Tuma. Rova Kav. But what that means is that there's still Tuma. So Rabbi Yochanan must be holding that way. Rabbi Shlakish on the other hand disagrees and says, once all melted, there's nothing there. Okay, what kind of case is it where somebody gets all burned up but the skeleton's intact? If they burned him on, let's say, a opened up pelt where the body burns easily, but the bones won't burn. Or in some sort of marble layer. If the body was just, let's say, singed. Okay, tell me about yad chatucha v'regel chatucha. Imot me'aleda. If a woman had a hapala and there was a full formed hand or leg coming out, she's Tmei Aleda, ve'en choshin shema migufa tumbao, and we have no concern, we saw this earlier, that it may be coming from a shapeless body, which is not vlad. Chista Rav Ravuna Dami Tavayu, they had a different take. In not nimla Yimei Tohar. Yes, she's Tmei Aleda, but she doesn't get Yimei Tohar. My time, huh? Because Eimer Chika Ledata, not because she doesn't deserve Yimei Tohar, but maybe she recently had a birth 50 days ago, and therefore she's already finished all of her Yimei Tohar. Mate Rabbi Yosef, so watch Rabbi Yosef's challenge. So Apeladvenya do my pila teshev l'zachar ulenekeva. If she has a hapala and she doesn't know what it is, then she has to have both zachar and nekeva. But we of course assume that this is the birth, and it wasn't much earlier. When there's something that's this malformed or early, we have to think that maybe the original Eda was even much earlier. So, Litni Ulanida, we should throw in Ulanida, which would mean that she doesn't get Yimei Tohar. So the Amar Abaye, the answer is, you're right, but itan and lenida, if it had said lenida, v'meina mevia korban v'eino nechal. And the halacha is, kamash palan, d'nechal, that if a woman has a hapala, and we don't know if it's male or female, then she does 14 days of tumah, only 26 days of tahara, and after day 80, she brings a korban, you'll let it, and it is eaten because she vadai had a child. You're right, we may not give her yimei tohar and treat her like anida, but unlike anida, or safek nida here, we would allow the korban to be eaten as a vadai you'll let it. Amravuna, hotzi ubar yadov achzira. Let's say an ubar was about to give birth, and the hand came out and brought it back. Imo tmei aleda. That's already called birthing, and she's already tmei aleda. The clock starts here. Shema v'hiv elita v'itinyat, that when Tamar is giving birth in the story of Yudan Tamar, Tamar is giving birth at the end of Breshit Lamed Chet, it says that the midwife put something on Zerach's hand, but it says as she was birthing, the hand came out. So that means that's called birthing. Meiti Rav Yehuda, watch this challenge. Let's see Ubar. If the Ubar only put his hand out, the mother doesn't have to worry about anything. And she's no status yet. Ravuna explained it to me what he meant. She certainly has to be concerned and say that maybe I'm already tmeya, but you may tohar, but she's not going to get you may tohar until the body has come out or majority of the head. But the statement was that his mother doesn't have to be worried about anything, meaning there's nothing here. Abayi says that means midoraita. There is a chashash that Leida might have started, and she has to start the clock counting. But wait a second, Ravuna quoted a pasuk. How can you say it's the Rabbanan? The answer is midorabanan across machta ve'alma. It's only the Rabbanan. The pasuk is merely an asmachta. Okay, we'll pause at this point. We'll see the Mishnah that we will see the next Mishnah, an interesting piece about the Tumtum and Androgynos, and that will take us to our final Mishnah on the Perek. In the meantime, everybody should have a wonderful day.